Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and in this episode, I'd like to invite you to join a virtual book club with me. Today, we'll be discussing several controversial books and authors, and who actually has the freedom and the right to write about other people's stories. So if that sounds interesting to you, grab a snack and get settled because you're listening to Vos Memos. So it's already the middle of the year. That's kind of crazy. Before I get into the controversial books, I want to check in with you guys. How are your New Year's resolutions going? Maybe it's time to make some new mid-year resolutions. I know I've definitely slacked off on a few of mine. I said that I wanted to sign up for an art class and I have not done that. And I feel like every couple weeks I just tell myself, I'm like, oh, it would be so nice to be in an art class. Ugh, I wish I was learning this. And I'm not working on it. So I need to be better about that with the next 6 months that we have in 2024 and get going on that before a whole year slips by. As for my Goodreads reading challenge, I'm at 18 out of 35 books. I'm right on track. I'm a little bit ahead of schedule. But that's kind of how I want to be because I know like when the holidays come around, I'm just going to want to relax and not really have to read multiple books every single month. A little bit of an update on the book I'm writing. One of my goals is to start querying it this year. I just got the first round of edits from one of my beta readers, and the feedback is overall positive. She's definitely given me a lot of ideas on how to take the book to the next level. And I know my other beta reader is going to give me even more edits like that. And I can already see in my mind how much better the book is going to be because I sent it to some beta readers. So I'm really excited. I feel like I have new energy after letting it sit and not having to work on it for a while. I can finally return to it with some fresh ideas and fresh perspective. So I'm really excited about that. The other New Year's resolution I had, or another goal of mine for this year, was to travel more. And I talked about how if you want to travel more, you have to actually plan it out. You have to buy the tickets, make the contacts, figure out where you're going to stay, all of that. And I am planning a trip to Tokyo and Seoul for the fall. And I'm really excited because I've been saying I'll do this for years, like probably 5 or 6 years I've been saying that I want to plan this trip. And it's finally going to happen in the fall, if all goes well. So I'm really excited to see my friend Mimi in Korea. And she's going to be my tour guide. We're going to have a blast. And I'm excited to start planning it with her too. So I'll keep you guys updated, especially once I have more of a concrete itinerary. And who knows? Maybe I'll be doing a podcast from Korea. We'll see. But now that I've gotten that check-in done, let's get into the juicy stuff. I feel like of the 18 books I've read this year, at least four of them. Yeah. At least four of them after I closed the book and I was like, okay, done with that one. I Google it and I'm like, oh my God, this author probably shouldn't have written this book. And now I'm wondering if I should have read this book. And so a couple of those, Horse by Geraldine Brooks and American Dirt. Both of those are like very renowned books, very popular, hard to get your hands on them. And yet the authors are white people writing about minority stories. And especially American Dirt became super controversial because the author started, I mean, American Dirt is about a Mexican immigration story. Some harsh critiques of it called it like glorifying the pain or trauma porn. And it was a very traumatic read. And it's hard because this author, it does not come from Mexican descent. They don't have like that immigration story in their family per se. But then on the other hand, if those authors don't write those stories, then Are we going to get to read them? Will there be more awareness? How will people educate themselves on these topics? Do we only allow minority authors to write about their stories? I think, spoiler, I think yes. But another book that falls into this category for me of writers who maybe shouldn't have written the story is Rebecca Mackay, The Great Believers. And this one's also a little bit controversial in the reviews on Goodreads, at least. On the cover here, it says National Book Award finalist. And this book frustrated me the whole time I was reading it. It has those dual storylines happening where one part is happening in the 1980s and then the other part was happening in 2015. So we were switching back and forth between two different timelines, two different perspectives. The 2015 plotline, I think Rebecca Mackay probably had a lot more authority in that perspective because it was just the perspective of a straight white female or woman, which is how Rebecca identifies. But then the other perspective is from a man, a gay man going through the AIDS crisis. You'll have to read it. I don't want to spoil it. It's very sad. It's a very sad book. And it is highlighting something that isn't largely talked about, the AIDS epidemic. And it's giving you a very intimate view into that whole crisis. And honestly, when I was reading it, it did make me want to read more about the AIDS epidemic and try to find more voices about it. But then I felt so conflicted at the end because should Rebecca have written this book at all? And luckily, my copy comes with a conversation with Rebecca Mackay where they're interviewing her and asking her some of these questions. And one of them is, as a cisgender heterosexual woman, why was this an important story for you to tell? How are you able to lift up the voices of the LGBTQA+ community? And Rebecca expresses that she was stressed and unsure if she should really be telling this story. And she came up with two questions to justify it. She said, could I do a good job and do the story justice? And would this book detract from the narratives of those who lived through the crisis or help readers discover those stories? And so Rebecca thinks she satisfies both these criteria that she made for herself. She thinks that she could do good research. It is a very well-researched book. She thinks that that research does justice to the story. And she thought that it's not detracting from people that actually lived through it. And then readers go on to discover more stories about AIDS because they read this book. And I think a lot of that does happen. A lot of people that I saw reviewing this book felt very passionate about reading more about the crisis. They connected with the characters. Unfortunately, I don't think I saw at least a video review from somebody that's part of the LGBTQ+ community reviewing this book. And I'm not part of that community, so I cannot say if it does do the story justice. That is the one problem with that question, is if Rebecca is not actually part of that community, how can she say that it's doing the story justice? I would hope that she had some beta readers, sensitivity readers. I don't think it is an offensive book, but the question still stands. Should she have written it? Could someone else have written this story that was closer to the topic? That's the thing. There are plenty of examples of good writing. I'm not saying that Rebecca is not a good writer or that any of these other authors aren't good writers. It's just that, is it their place to tell these stories that don't necessarily belong to them and they're not necessarily part of those communities and it's not their heritage? Why are they telling this story? And that's why this topic's so controversial. So funnily enough, there's several books that talk about this very topic. One of them, I think, won the Goodreads 2023 Choice Awards, Yellow Face, which is about an author that ends up kind of posing as an Asian woman telling a Chinese story, and she's white, and it all is going to come out. But that's kind of what gave her her success, is telling these stories. And so the question is, like, and Yellowface, I thought, was a great book. It was very funny. I'm trying to read more funny books, because usually romance novels are my, like, easy reads, comfort reads. And I think, like, people just don't really think about funny books as a genre. I know my family has been telling me to read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for years. I'm going to get around to it, okay? I'm going to get around to it. But that's not what this episode is about. We're talking about controversial books, writing about things that you shouldn't be writing about. I want to go back to Rebecca's questions that she asked herself, which kind of alluded to research can solve this. Like, if she researches it enough, then she's off the hook. The thing is, research is never going to replace life experience. And even myself, like, my heritage is, on my mom's side, Mexican, and my grandmother immigrated here from Mexico. And even I'm not sure I feel comfortable writing that story, because the thing is, I grew up in a middle-class family in Oklahoma. My Mexican family all lived in LA, and I wasn't immersed in my Mexican culture very much. Obviously, I had my mom, and I love my mom. I love Mexican food. I tried to learn Spanish in school, but I didn't live close to my Mexican grandmother, my mama Angie. And so I wasn't very close to her story. And I even did an entire research paper and project on my family's history and the way language is passed down. And I still am not sure that I would be able to write a book like American Dirt. So if that tells you anything, it's just that you need to be very close with these stories in order to do them justice. And so I think about a book like Horse, where one of the timelines is following a slave, and then the other timeline is following a Black PhD student. And I'm just not sure if you could actually do that story justice without having that heritage, having that generational trauma that you've grown up learning about and your community carries, which is obviously, it's not ideal. It's generational trauma, but it's authentic. Like, it's your lived experience. It's the experience of your elders. I mean, you're hearing those stories from your community members and your family. And then for, like, the modern timeline, even more so, like, the nuances of modern culture are just so, there's so many nuances that I don't think you could accurately convey the lived experience of a Black person in academia today, with and all the racial profiling, the police brutality that's ongoing in the United States, without actually living in it. And one tool that these authors use to tell these stories is to insert, like, a character that is more like them, so that they can have that, like, outsider perspective observing what's happening, so that they have a vehicle in which to explain the story, and they don't have to be first person explaining it from a perspective that they don't really know. It happened in The Great Believers. It happened in Horse. And I think that's fine. You can always tell a story from an outsider's perspective looking in. Like, that's kind of, if you've seen it, then you can tell that, right? It's just a problem when you're trying to tell the story from a first person point of view that you've never experienced. Then it's going to be really hard to capture all of those details, all of the culture, all of the nuances, and do the story justice. And, you know, a common argument against this, and one that was covered in Yellowface, was, oh, isn't that censorship? Like, if you start telling people what they can and cannot write about, aren't you censoring it? Where is freedom of speech? And I'm not preventing these authors from commenting on what they can see, what they can feel, what they've experienced. It's just a problem when they start talking about something that they basically don't know about. They've had to go and learn about it. And I don't think you can ever learn enough. It's a similar situation to if you ask ChatGPT to write a book about the human experience. ChatGPT can learn a lot. We've fed it basically the entire internet, which holds much of the human experience, right? It holds so many like written artifacts from human history, modern discourse, news articles, books, and yet I would not trust ChatGPT to capture the lived experience of any human ever. And we've fed it literally everything that we can. So, and of course, authors have a lot more nuance and creativity. And it goes back to my earlier point. These authors are good writers. It's just that they probably shouldn't be writing these stories. And same thing with ChatGPT. ChatGPT can know a lot. It can do its research, but should it really be telling a story that it doesn't actually live through, or it hasn't actually lived through? I've always got to take it back to technology. I love talking about AI. And I mean, honestly, throughout my whole undergrad degree, anytime I was in a computer science class, I was finding a way to connect it to all my other classes. So I really thought like this ChatGPT example does really encapsulate the problems with these authors writing about things that they haven't lived through. It's just how much do you trust them to capture it correctly? And I think, I mean, part of this is not the author's fault. It's the publishing industry has been really pushing to get diverse stories out there. And they will often take a shortcut like this where they have a white author write about something that they probably shouldn't because they don't want to take the time to find a minority writer that can actually speak to the experience. And so the thing is, you can have a diverse story or diverse narrative without kind of stealing a minority's story. You can have diverse characters as subplots, as side characters. I don't know. I just wouldn't really advise on writing from a first-person perspective of someone's experience that you haven't lived through. Maybe it could work in third person. I think it can also work if you're very submerged in that culture, in that community. And that's why I feel like I couldn't do justice to like my grandmother's immigration story because I wasn't in that community. I just wasn't around those stories. I didn't grow up with it. But I think I would feel very different if my family did live in LA and I was close to those relatives and I was hearing about it more. So it is a very nuanced conversation. And that's why like nobody's canceled, because it's tough. It's tough to draw the line, and it's really up to these authors to do their due diligence and really self-reflect, am I the person to tell this story? And so now what? We've read these books and now we feel a little icky. We feel a little unsure. What do we do next? I'm going to link a couple different resources for our alternatives to these books. And I think just do your research. I'll admit, like my book club, we kind of just go off vibes. We go off Goodreads reviews. We go off stars. And that's probably, we probably should do one more step there and just double check. Does the author's background seem legit? Do we think that they can do the story justice before we just delve right in? And I think that just saves you the like this wishy-washy back and forth. Now I don't know if I should have read that book. And then share books from these minority authors, because they don't get as much of a platform as these big names. They don't get as much attention as white authors. Most of the industry is white. So it means so much more when you share and elevate the voices of these minority authors, because they just don't get as much help. So that's what I had for you today. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, give it a rating. Give it a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. I have all the video podcasts. If you're not tuning in to the video podcast, I have those. If you like to have a video running in the background, maybe you'll catch some cameos of Bobby. Who knows? And then, yeah, if you want to follow on Instagram, it's at Vos Memos, or you can follow directly on my blog, angelageorge.com/vos-memos. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.